goes by the pseudonym Bo Snerdly.
It's time for the Soul of Excellence.
He is a radio host at 77 WABC here in New York.
The Rush Hour is on the air.
Rush.
Now here's Bo Snerdly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Welcome, my friends. It is the Wednesday edition of Bo Snerdly's Rush Hour here on WABC Talk Radio 77 in New York. If you would like to be part of the program today, 800-848-WABC is the number to reach us, 800-848-9222. I have a treat for you. It's a real treat. It's a treat for me, too. So without any further ado,
it's time for Radio Royalty with James Golden and America's Princess of Policy, Princess Di.
That's right. Princess Diana Mee joins us during the week. Her Highness had to clear out her busy schedule, tell the ladies in waiting to wait, and wait they better. And she has decided to grace us with her appearance today, and I have a surprise for her, too.
Uh-oh.
I want to play a game. I want to play a game with Princess Di. Here's the game, Princess Di. It's called Quick Takes. I want to go through some of the headlines before we get to the story that I am asking your royal opinion on, that being Yuri Berliner, who has quit NPR today in disgust.
Right.
But before we do that, we have other headlines. And so here's how we play Quick Take. I'm going to read you some headlines, maybe a paragraph or two of a story if needed. And you just give me your quick take on the story. And if you want to pass on it, if it's not worthy of your opinion, just pass. Nothing there. Okay, or something like that. So let's start with this. Former AG Barr rips political Trump hush money case. Says real threat to democracy is the progressive left. What's your quick take on that?
This guy is flip-flopping more than anybody else in the political world. He has been a never-Trumper. And so what is his motive for all of a sudden seeming to defend Donald Trump? I'm suspicious of him.
Okay, you're suspicious. Bill Barr, maybe. Maybe he's got something there. Maybe he really does think that this thing is horrible. But why wouldn't he say it before?
The guy has been dishonest in every public pronouncement since January 6th. So why now is he telling the truth? I think his motives are suspect.
Okay. Next headline on Quick Takes with Princess Di. Speaker Johnson rolls out text for foreign aid package, despite conservative outcry. Speaker Mike Johnson released the legislative text Wednesday for three bills that would combine military assistance to Ukraine, Israel, and allies in the Indo-Pacific with humanitarian aid for Gaza and other global hotspots, a high-stakes moment for the speaker as he barrels into the politically prickly topic of sending aid overseas. What's your quick take?
Well, he is absolutely going against what he promised. And so everyone wants to know why. They want to know, does the deep state have something on him? Who is pressuring him? Why all of a sudden is he flip-flopping on what he promised? However, the deep state wants the Congress to go Democrat. And so this is a perilous time for our country, because if he does lose the speakership, and I don't think he's done a good job, but he needs to stay there. Otherwise, the Democrats are going to not seat President Trump if he wins the election. So this has to remain in Republican hands. As annoying as the guy has been, I think we need to just not support any defunding of the speakership or defenestration of the speakership. He's got to stay there.
Next headline. Marjorie, this is an opinion piece from Fox News. Somebody names Liz Peek or something like that. Marjorie Taylor Greene is an idiot. She's trying to wreck the GOP. It begins like this. It's high time someone in the Republican Party told Marjorie Taylor Greene to turn all that bombastic, self-serving showmanship and drama queen energy on Democrats and stop trying to defeat her own party. And then it gets worse, and I'm not even going to go for worse. What's your quick take on the headline, Marjorie Taylor Greene is an idiot. She needs to stop trying to wreck the Republican Party.
Well, she's a mixed bag. I have agreed with some. She's a strong personality. However, she was basically kicked out of all committees, if you remember. She was unpopular positions, embarrassing the Republican leadership. And so they kicked her out of everything. And so she's got nothing else to do. So if you wanted to keep her busy, then you shouldn't have taken her off all the committees. And, you know, she's just wandering around.
Let me do a quick take on Princess Di's quick take. The woman's got too much time on her hands. What do you expect? Okay. Next headline. This one's serious. Netanyahu says 9 chilling words as Iran's president vows to completely destroy Israel. And these are the words that Netanyahu says that has people quivering. Israel will do whatever it needs to defend itself.
Well, that seems absolutely logical. Why is that controversial?
Because people are thinking that, you know, if he nukes Iran, here we are into World War III. That's why.
Well, that is a possibility. But, you know, Iran should have thought of that before they launched all kinds of drones and missiles at Israel. What did they expect would happen? I think that a lot of this comes back to United States foreign policy and Biden's administration playing both sides on this one. And so we are basically going over the cliff into insanity because Biden has lost control of the entire foreign policy of his administration.
I like quick takes. We're getting a lot. We're moving through these stories in a lot. Okay, here's the next one. For quick takes with Princess Diana Mee, and we are going to get to Yuri Berliner in a moment. Senate dismisses first of 2 impeachment charges against Mayorkas. Democrats move quickly to sweep aside the article of impeachment, accusing the Homeland Security Secretary of refusing to enforce immigration laws, calling it unconstitutional.
Well, I heard that quote with Schumer saying that this was an unconstitutional charge. And then I heard on your radio station, I heard Mitch McConnell basically saying, we have to take these charges seriously. And so he and Schumer, I am sure, will come up with some way to screw everybody and get the deep state win on this. I think that, you know, yes, does he need to be impeached? Yes. Is anything going to happen? No. The Senate is not going to convict. And so this is an exercise in distraction, although Mayorkas definitely needs to be held to account.
Okay. Next up, Columbia. A university president won't say if hurtful slogan from the river to the sea is anti-Semitic. And she was up in front of Congress, and Elise Stefanik was lighting her up. Virginia Fox was lighting her up. Yeah, some of the things she said, oh, yeah, some bad stuff happened here. But, you know, but she would not say if that particular slogan, from the river to the sea, is anti-Semitic.
Well, she is now in trouble. And, you know, if you remember, Claudine Gay had trouble with the same subject, and she is gone. So, you know, this brings us actually to the story that you had wanted me to look at, which is the NPR issue. And Christopher Rufo, who was instrumental in finding all of the past plagiarism of Claudine Gay after this embarrassing testimony before Congress on anti-Semitism, Claudine Gay was basically had her head handed to him by Christopher Rufo, who is a conservative, and he digs into the past of a lot of these liberal academics and causes them great embarrassment, and a lot of them have lost their jobs. And he is now digging into Catherine Marr, who is now the head of, newly head of NPR. And if I were her, I'd be very worried, because I read this morning that Christopher Rufo was digging up her old tweets and digging up her past. And so this is an interesting wrinkle on that story that you had asked me to look at, and that she has been basically shown to be a leftist and who does not believe in the First Amendment of the United States.
Yeah, this woman is, and I've read some of her tweets. They are bashing white people, the ones that I read. They are justifying the riots that took place back in the summer of riots, the Democrat Party summer of riot and love. And, you know, I mean, why should people care about property? But let's talk about Yuri Berliner, who has today resigned after publicly calling out NPR for their horribly biased coverage. This guy is a Peabody Award-winning writer. Those kind of things mean a lot to liberals. He's won the Peabody Award. Come for a Pulitzer. And so this guy came, if before he called out NPR, he had impeccable credentials. Give us a little bit of background on what has taken place here, Princess Di.
Well, he wrote a piece in the Free Press on April 9th where he says he's been at NPR for 25 years, and here's where we lost America's trust. And he goes through some of the stories that they got wrong, Russiagate, the Hunter laptop, and the origins of COVID. And he basically explains that because of the liberal bent of the management, they have lost the American audience, which they, that's their mission, is as a taxpayer-funded media organization. It is to report the news to America. And when they went woke with the emphasis on DEI, which is diversity, equity, and inclusion, which is wokeness, they also lost their audience. And he points out in 2011, the NPR audience was 26% conservative, 23% middle of the road, and 37% liberal. So they leaned liberal in 2011. In 2023, their audience dropped to 11% conservative and 67% liberal. So liberals have dominated the audience. And this piece of information is one of the things that got him soundly punished by his organization. They basically called this proprietary information about audience demographics, and it's confidential. And so a national public radio is saying that they have the right to private information about their demographics. They're not being very transparent. And they were really angry that Yuri Berliner pulled the curtain back on not only their liberal bent, but their loss of audience on the conservative side. And this matters because taxpayer funding is every single time there's a budget is discussed. And now there are more calls to defund NPR, National Public Radio, because it is far left. And why should the taxpayer fund it? Which I think is a very good question.
One of the things that also came out is that there are, at least the belief is that there are zero conservatives working inside this organization in any meaningful capacity. Zero. And that is, I don't know how you justify that as a taxpayer-funded organization. What do you think about that?
Are you surprised, though? Are you surprised?
No.
In every media organization, you could say that. The only difference here is the taxpayer money. Other than that, they're standard issue leftist media organization.
Okay, so when he said this, now this new CEO, who is as woke as they come from at least some of the tweets that I'm reading, went out and talked about how hurtful he was. Never disputed what he said. But disputed the fact that he caused pain and hurt to the good people at NPR, those good liberals there. And by the way, he's one himself. He talked about how eagerly he went in to vote against Donald Trump twice. He eagerly did it. He said, but as a journalist, I wanted to cover the administration fairly. I did not want this biased coverage.
And now, he says, he cannot work in a newsroom where he is disparaged. I cannot work in a newsroom where I am disparaged by a new CEO whose divisive views confirm the very problems at NPR I cited in my essay. So the word disparage has a legal definition. So I think, really, he is going to be suing NPR for his treatment. It was a hostile work environment for him, clearly. But he has definitely done a service, and not that we needed to know that they're leftists, but to have specifics and some of the internal discussions that went on behind the scenes. Very helpful.
Now, Princess Di, I want you to hold on because I have one other story to ask you about. And that's the Firing Line so-called documentary on William Buckley. Another government-funded oppo, PBS. So hang in there, Princess Di. We'll be right back. On this day in 1970, Santana began sessions for their breakthrough album, Abraxas. Gave us this one, Black Magic Woman. Of course, gave us Oye Como Va, the beginning of Santana's amazingly illustrious career as one of America's premier musicians and premier bands. All on both servers, Rush Hour, WABC. Keep it right here, 800-848-9222.
Got a black magic woman. I've got a black magic.
We're going to check in with Norm Layden, Road to the Election. Keep it right here on WABC.
She's a black magic woman. She's trying to make a devil out of me.
The Rush Hour is on the air. Attention Ditto Heads. Attention Bo Scouts.
Rush
on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Michael Cimbello is born, the American Grammy Award-winning and Oscar-nominated singer, musician, songwriter, I might add, an amazing guitarist, was the writer of this one, featured in the film Flashdance, Maniac, went to number one on the charts back in 1983. He has a solo album that is quite remarkable, Bossa Nova something. Anyway, it's a great album. And a lot of people don't know, he also played a lot with Stevie. Yeah, and he co-wrote some songs with Stevie, and also with George Benson. He has one of his songs George Benson did, and Michael's singing background on it. Great singer, among great writer. Okay, Princess Di is with us. Princess Di, there's a documentary that PBS aired, another government-funded media operation, and supposedly this was a documentary that was about William F. Buckley Jr. One would expect that since Firing Line was one of the reasons that PBS actually got turned on in people's houses, they would be somewhat respectful of Mr. Buckley in it. They used this documentary not only to disparage Buckley, but also to take cheap shots at Rush. I haven't seen this thing. I've only read about it. I don't know whether I want to see it. Rush on the air for 33 years. They pick out a line or two of his with apparently no context at all. And then you have this journalist, Tim Alberto, who says that Rush poisoned Christians with an unceasing stream of venom, ugliness, hostility, antagonism, and hatred, which is as far from the truth as anything that anyone has said about Rush can be. Quickly, Diana, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, it's actually actually of a piece with what we were talking about before. I just want to read one quick quote from this Catherine Marr Wikipedia page. This is what they said. She steered Wikimedia, which was the parent company of Wikipedia, through the misinformation crisis of the late 2010s. Did you know there was a misinformation crisis in 2010?
But I had no idea.
That is the left sees information. And right now, this is an example of what you're talking about, of they cannot stand to have anything which is going against their narrative in the public airways. And that's why they're going back. PBS is going back using taxpayer dollars and trashing conservative icons like Mr. Buckley, like Rush, and because they did not win that information battle back when these titans were alive and speaking. So they're trying to erase any influence that their memories may have. And so this is now the battle that we're in, quote unquote, information battle. They want to control the narrative, but the actual war is over the truth. And that is what they cannot win. And this is what is an example of what you're talking about. They can't stand the fact that people have fond memories of the truth about Buckley and the truth about Rush Limbaugh. And so they're trying to trash them.
Yeah, I doubt whether I'll watch this thing. I hope Senator Blackburn said that she is going to become part of the effort to defund NPR, and I certainly hope that there is some follow-through on that. And I think they ought to take a look at PBS, too. After all, these are taxpayer dollars, and why should taxpayer dollars just be used to fund liberal propaganda and the liberal narrative? So there you go. Princess Di, cannot thank you enough for joining us. Oh, I have one more quick take for you. I just have to find, I got actually two more. Here's the first one. Quick takes with Princess Di. Human infections from rat urine on the rise in New York City.
Well, you're going to be finding this all kinds of diseases and horrible situations thanks to the liberals running cities and not running the border.
And something in a similar vein, Scarborough, speaking MSNBC host Joe Scarborough, rants that Trump voters hate America, trash their own country, and shame on Fox News.
That's because people are actually living in the Biden economy and they say negative things about it. And so, of course, that to be blamed on conservatives and Republicans for telling the truth.
Princess Di, as always, so much wisdom. Thank you, Princess Diana.
It's always wonderful to talk to you, Dr. Jake.
1973, ladies and gentlemen, the Eagles released their second studio album titled Desperado. This happens to be, I mean, the Eagles have such a great catalog, but of all of the Eagles songs, this is my absolute favorite. Desperado on WABC Talk Radio 77. Checking in with the traffic, checking in with Ken Commando. Coming back with your phone calls at 800-848-WABC.
Some bad things have been laid upon your table, but you only want the ones that you can't get. Desperado. Oh, you ain't getting no young. Your pain.
Rush.
It's the Rush Hour with Bo Snerdly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Oh, my goodness, what have we here? This just, I tell you, folks, folks, I'm sorry to interrupt your afternoon with this. This is just distressing news here. Now, many of us thought that when them California people, you know, them folks out there on the West Coast, they always coming up with them harebrained schemes and all that stuff. Many of us thought that when they start talking about this reparation stuff, it would just all talk, right? Nobody ever expected people to actually get money because we had slavery in this country. After all, I mean, when the Democrat Party supported all that stuff, you know, that was just the way it was. And now, it looks like these people out there in California getting ready to do something else. Seriously. Listen to this, folks. I can't believe what I'm seeing here. A California lawmaker has unveiled plans to put a genealogy office out there in California. They want an office of genealogy so that they can trace where them people come from. Now, last year, you might recall, out there in California, they came up with a figure. And the figure is this. If you was from slaves, you eligible to get a $1.2 million handout from the government. That's right. $1.2 million. Now, these people want to put an office of genealogy out there so they can actually trace which black people are legitimate blacks to get the money. Do you believe what you're hearing here? Black peoples who migrated, came over here like them illegal aliens coming over here now. Oh, by the way, I got a story. That Diego Borden came up with a story that's just hot off the presses. Apparently, a lot of you Americans are going down there to Mexico, and y'all are becoming illegal immigrants in Mexico City. It's the truth. I ain't lying to you. If I'm lying, I'm flying. I'm telling you the truth. A lot of you white folks, too. Y'all are getting out the United States and moving down to Mexico City, and guess what? The Mexicans down there upset. They don't want y'all down there taking their jobs. They don't want y'all down there overstaying y'all visas. They don't like the fact that y'all down there speaking that English when y'all should be speaking Spanish. And they don't like the fact that y'all taking over Mexico City. You know, believe it or not, Mexico City got more people in the world in the northern hemisphere than any other city. And now white folks are moving in. And by the way, some blacks are moving down there, too. Black folks say they feel safer in Mexico City than they do in them Democrat cities. Right? But all of that is off the point. We're going to get to that story before this week is out. How y'all white folks down there ruining Mexico City. But let's get back to California. California putting in an office of genealogy, and they say that only black peoples who can prove they had descendants back in slavery time gonna get the money. That's what they're saying. $1.2 million. If y'all black people, and by the way, this affected a lot of y'all from the Caribbean. You know, y'all come over here talking about y'all American, y'all from the Caribbean. Well, come on, don't get mad at me. I'm just saying. Anyway, black people who migrated into the United States in the 20th and 21st centuries, y'all ain't getting no money. Because y'all can't prove that y'all had descendants from slaves. So y'all just out of luck. Only black peoples who was here during the 19th century, if you can prove through the Office of California Black People Genealogy that you was real black, then that's when you're going to get the $1.2 million. And by the way, when they start handing out that $1.2 million to black people in America, I just want to tell you something. You think y'all hearing it now about them student loan giveaway that Biden got? You wait, they just start handing out money to black people. There's going to be some mighty upset people in this country. And I'm telling you, Buford ain't going to like that. Y'all giving them people $1.2 million for what? Because y'all born? Because y'all had some peoples? Look, anyway, I just want to deliver that news. Okay? They going ahead with this reparations thing. Y'all think they was fooling? They ain't fooling out there in California. They already said $1.2 million, and now they specifying the good blacks that get the reparations and the other blacks ain't getting squat. All right? I'm just keeping y'all abreast of the news. And we're going to talk about that Mexico City thing, because boy, oh boy, I can't believe what I'm hearing. White Americans especially, and some black ones, moving down there to Mexico City, taking over Mexico City. Mexicans don't like it. They go home, Yankee. Get your asses back home. Stop coming down here talking English and sitting in all the nice cafes and driving up rents and taking our jobs. And stop over. Look, we got an immigration problem down there in Mexico City, and it's Americans. They're causing it. We're going to get to that story, I promise you. I do. Anyway, that's it. Reparations is alive and well, but only some of the blacks are going to get it. In California, anyway. So y'all been sitting down thinking, oh, everybody going to be in heaven. Everybody get that $1.2 million. It ain't going to happen like that. Only some. And that ought to make some of y'all feel better, don't it? All right, now, we'll catch you next time.
WABC Talk Radio 77, James Golden with you here. Bo Snurley's Rush Hour. Let's get to the telephones. Robert in Brooklyn, you're up on the phones. What's on your mind this afternoon?
Hi, Bo. Thanks for taking my call. You know, Princess Di, I agree with her in the sense that, you know, Mike Johnson, his performance leaves a lot to be desired. In many respects, he's not governing much different than Hakeem Jeffries would be governing. Now, she raised the point now, if we try to get rid of, like Marjorie Taylor Greene wants to do, to try to get rid of Johnson to vacate the speakership, we might lose the House, the Speaker. But the thing is, it's very possible we're going to lose the House anyway. I'm sure these Democrats would like to pay off one of these Republicans to take a $1 million job as an ice cream tester for Biden. We're going to probably lose the House. They're probably convicted. They'll say that Trump is guilty of insurrection. And I'm really outraged at the Republicans because, for one example, the Judiciary Committee, they should be calling Michael Colangelo and his Judge Merchant and his daughter and Bragg. They should be before the Judiciary Committee explaining this travesty of justice that they're doing to Trump, this kangaroo proceeding. And they passed this law that Trump can't withdraw from NATO unilaterally. These Republicans, many of them, in very respect, they're almost
look,
as bad as
what
the
do you expect from the Republicans? Do you honestly expect Republicans to govern like Republicans? Is that what you're saying here?
Well, what about
forget
the few
it.
People that are good?
Forget it. Moderates own the Republican Party in the House of Representatives. There are about 40-some-odd hardcore conservatives. That's it. The rest of them are moderates. They're the ones that if you mention we have to shut down the government, they go into a fit. It'll take them a week to get their undies unbunched. Okay, if you dare say the word government shutdown, if you dare say let's stand up to the administration on anything. There was a story just yesterday, Robert, that Joe Biden has gotten $1 trillion in spending for liberal programs. And my first reaction on reading that program, Joe Biden didn't get it. The Republicans gave it. But guess what? Princess Di is right. If you get rid of Johnson, who else are you going to get? And do you expect anything to be any different? The moderates run the roost in the House. And until that changes, nothing else changes. Love your call. Love your passion. Time for us to check in with Lou Dobbs. Diego, I know the voice. Why are we playing Bob Dylan?
We are playing Bob Dylan because on this day in 1965, Bob Dylan's second studio album, The Freewillin', Went number one in the UK. It opens up with this song, Blowing in the Wind, which became an anthem of the 1960s on this day in 1965.
Thank you. Let us check in with Lou Dobbs. More of your telephone calls coming up on Boston Early's Rush Hour.
The answer is blowing in the wind.
James Golden, known popularly as Bo Snerdly.
This is The Rush Hour with Bo Snerdly.
Rush.
On this date, all four of the Beatles, the ex-Beatles by that point, had solo singles out. Paul McCartney had a single out, Another Day. John Lennon, Power to the People. Ringo Starr had one out, It Don't Come Easy. And this one, probably the most notable, George Harrison's My Sweet Lord on WABC.
James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly, presents Rapid Phones.
Tisha, or in Long Island. Hi, Tisha. What's on your mind this afternoon?
Thanks for taking my call. I don't usually call radio stations. But you're talking about the reparations, and I just don't understand why they're so worried about getting money for slavery that happened God knows when, you know, so long ago. When there's sex slaves and there's slavery now, and why don't they take that money and invest it in the people that are actually enslaved now? And that just drives me crazy because these people are alive now.
Tisha, you just don't understand, do you? Democrats have to buy votes, okay? You got 23% of them people already saying that they might go for Donald Trump. Now, how do you expect the Democrat Party to stay alive unless they buy people's votes, Tricia? You're talking about slavery and things now. For goodness sakes, woman, in every city in America, people killing people left and right, criminals roaming the streets. Democrats don't care nothing about that stuff. It's about buying votes. And I'm so sorry that you don't understand. And by the way, this is also some racial stuff, too. Now, you putting your foot in it when you say these people, guess what, Tricia? You're going to have to pay. You got to pay your fair share of reparations money, too. Don't you know that?
I know it, but I don't understand anything that goes on in this world. So.
You do understand. You understand that right now, today, women and children are being trapped in a vicious, ugly, harmful exploitation of their beings, that there are women and children dying, crossing these borders, being sold into modern-day slavery, and that the politicians that you expect to actually take care of problems are instead doing absolutely nothing about it. So you do understand everything that's going on, Tricia, and thank you for calling. Let's go to Kevin in New York. How are you, Kevin?
Hey, Bo. All right. Thank you very much for taking my call. Bo, I wanted to bring up, the FBI had invaded some of these houses of Mayor Adams' co-workers. And I don't know what's going on with that whole investigation. It seems like it's dead now. Like Mayor Adams is out of the clear.
Hey, pal. It ain't dead. It ain't dead. You know what's going on? They shut Adams up. You notice Adams ain't going down there to Washington, D.C., banging Joe Biden's door anymore. It got the desired effect. Hey, Adams, you better shut your mouth. And guess what? He shut his mouth. It worked. There's beautiful Rita. Getting ready. Come on, John. Rita, you look like $1 million. You always look fine as you can be. And you're so wonderful. And one of the most influential talk radio hosts in America. Congratulations, Rita. Well deserved. Love you, love you. John and Rita coming up next. May God bless and protect each and every single one of you, your families, your loved ones. Thank you so much for being here with me and allowing me to be with you. God willing, back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
for the Thursday edition of Bo Snurley's Rush Hour. Until then, my friends, bye now.